the corridor now.
We're in the corridor.
Where are you taking me now?
I am taking you deep into the back cave of Dr. Masquerade's dressing up wardrobe.
Oh my god, what could we... Oh, Struth. Ladies and gentlemen, I am looking at a big wardrobe that is jam-packed with hilariously bright, colourful outfits. And
pick one you like.
I'm going to rustle. Listen to this. I'm rustling through. We've got striped... Oh, this looks very nice. What is this? A smoking jacket.
This is Dr. M's... And it's 15 quid from a charity shop, but look at that.
Wow.
This is my Willy Wonka jacket.
That is really nice.
I wear this and hand out sweets to 16-year-olds, people say, did you never get told, do not take sweets of a strange man? And that's the Willy Wonka. And of course, you know, the original handmade for Dr. Masquerade Matrix jacket.
Oh wow, now we are talking a full length leather jacket here, yes. Matrix style. It's very, I bet that looks very swish on
that's
you.
That's very swish. You should try it on actually.
Do you think it will fit me?
I think you should try it on. The Verbs is actually going to try on the PVC.
This is very nice.
Not the original one that Bryant's Fishbone one, but there you go.
Can I now replicate myself in many, many different times? Wow, that looks, I'm looking at the mirror at myself. It's very peculiar for the phone, I have to say, ladies and gentlemen. It's quite heavy, isn't it?
Yes, for Unilever. And I got them all dressed up. It was a Russian hijack. And the Italian girl who was dressing up said, can I wear the fascist jacket, please? I didn't know what to say.
Amelia has joined us. You are one of Dr. M's gorgeous daughters. The youngest one, I believe.
Yes, I'm 14.
14. And tell us the truth. I want the you know, the low down and dirty truth about your dad. Is he a genuine, nice, jolly chappy?
Yes.
Or is there a seedier, nasty, whip the children and beat them upside to him?
No, he generally is a very genuine person, very crazy at times.
Yes.
But no. I don't know. I haven't seen that underneath side of him yet.
You know,
hopefully there isn't one.
No, no. Well, I guess, you know, in 14 years you get to know your dad,
yes.
Don't you? Yeah. So any time to celebrate, I guess, with your dad is a time to go over the top.
Oh, 150%.
So Christmas time, as we record, this is approaching as we're at the beginning of December. Has he got amazing plans?
Oh, I don't know, but last year he dressed up as Santa and used my dog as a reindeer and came riding in Christmas.
And your dog is a big dog, isn't it?
It's a Border Collie.
A Border Collie.
Poor little dog got dressed up as a reindeer.
Oh, yeah, that is a bit sad, actually. complete with antlers and stuff.
Yeah, he had the Christmas tree decorations on him, so who knows what this year's going to bring.
Right, what else have we got in here? Pick something and have a delve.
Okay, let's go up the other end. This seems more sporty. Have you got a 50s sort of biker's jacket? What else? Oh, that looks nice.
That is Vlad's jacket.
That is Vlad's.
You've picked Vlad's
Russian
jacket.
Oh, yes.
And this was actually purchased by me when I was in Russia making a documentary for Klein, Corinthia Hotels.
So it's a genuine Russian jacket.
It's a genuine Russian jacket. And the story behind it is, I, in my beautiful naivety and simplicity, purchased all these Russian outfits, hat, gun belt and everything. And when I got meeting them, they stopped me at customs. I had a couple of days' growth. I actually had a leather jacket on.
And
they strip searched me and they emptied all my bags and I had vodka and Russian dolls and stuff in for the kids. And my camera crew walked through and an hour later, they were waiting for me and they were all saying to me, oh, you know, yeah. So, you know, the price you pay for bringing the Russian military authentic jacket back through Russia is you're going to get done.
What they must have thought. Yeah, absolutely. So you're lucky to get away with your life.
Vladimir Bolokov from KGB.
Originally, I wanted to do medicine, but I'm thinking of maybe going to law.
Ah.
I'm not sure yet.
Oh, right. Well, you've got your whole life ahead of you at 14, golly, you know, to make those sort of decisions.
Yeah.
Are you, your family seems to be into a lot of art and stuff. I see there's a lot of nice, interesting sort of paintings. Well, I'm not going to say paintings, they're collages. I'm looking at collages with bottles, with alcoholic bottles.
It was Seb, when many of his nights with his friends and all these alcoholic bottles, and he decided to make a collage. Seb's quite arty, George is arty, my nan's arty, but I'm not very... Dad's arty in the different, not a drawing arty, right, but yes, a very creative.
In an entertainment creative way, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not very arty.
But you're the academic going into, yeah, potentially into law.
Potentially, hopefully.
I feel like we're moving over to the east wing now of the mansion, Dr. M.
We're now coming to the other bat cave. One of the purposes of working for yourself and working from home is to try and maximise time, as we were saying. So I'm not busy tweeting at 5 a.m. One has to keep fit.
Ah, how do you do that?
Well, I have a rigorous routine of 3 times a week. Someone coming and knocking the shit out of me.
Oh, how nice.
And Kaz, because Kaz likes to train, and we sometimes train together, which is good. Right. You are now entering the gym.
Oh my God, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, you can feel it's cold, everybody.
It's cold, so you don't hang about in here. You warm yourself up fairly quick. This is a double garage, 2 massive great big garage doors, and let me tell you, it is packed with machines. You've got your pec deck machine here,
and lovely pec deck,
and you've got your lat pull down, yeah, thing, and your quads knee lift up a thing, you've got your running machine, you've got
a little
trampoline.
Go on, bouncy.
What else have we got in here? We've got a punch bag, which, yeah, looks really good.
Let's give it a little knock. Here you go.
There we go, bit of audio.
Clarton didn't play last week. Clarton's, yeah, not going to play next week. Oh,
you've got free weights.
Yeah.
You've got a rowing machine. My,
yes,
goodness. Except that, hang on a minute. Whoa. Just a second.
Now
hang on a minute. This is a facade. This gym business is a facade.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is really a cocktail bar.
Yeah, because I've just looked. There's a couple of filing cabinets and 2 fridges in,
yeah,
here.
Full of booze.
Full of booze. And here we have a whole load of all sorts of beautiful drinks. We've got some, yes, Jack Daniels. We've got some Tia Maria.
Enough for a party when you and...
You've got enough for a party for about 500 people in here. And then if that's no good, you've got some good old garden furniture oil that you can top it off with. Claudia.
Hello.
Hello. You're daughter number one, you're much older.
1 year.
1 year, 15.
Yep.
And are you another creative genius?
Hopefully.
Artistic. Yeah. What are you gonna do with your life?
I'm actually studying performing arts and musical theatre. I'm at boarding school. So up in Hertfordshire.
Oh,
and
fair.
So we spend half the day doing academic and half the day doing singing, dancing, acting, everything.
And is that what you really want to do?
I want to be on the West End stage.
Oh, really? What are your favourite plays that you've seen in the West End?
Chicago is definitely my favourite, but...
You can see yourself in the... I was going to say in the chorus line, I didn't mean to say that, in one of the main... I don't know
anything. I just love it.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. Absolutely. So tell us about your dad. I'm trying to get underneath this showy, glitzy Dr. M, you know, kind of character. As a dad, I mean, I can see that he's been super generous and he's been kind and all that kind of stuff.
I can always go to him. He always just, you know,
sits
sort it out, and he always sort it out. He's always on my side, which is good.
that's always a bonus.
Yeah.
Is he overprotective?
He used to be a bit, but he has become a bit more, he's become way more lenient with us. he lets us go out now. No.
Yeah, so...
No, he did used to be strict, but he's cool.
He's cool,
now.
Yeah.
He's cool.
And, I mean, when you were smaller, not actually that much, I'm just thinking back to... Because I do bits of entertaining and stuff, and my kids used to be quite embarrassed, you know, if I was around, because I'd be bouncy and jolly and jovial, and they'd go, oh, man, you know, leave us alone, it's, you know... But but my daughter's friends would think it's fantastic. Oh, your dad's mad, you know, why... Did you ever have that feeling where you was, you know, go through a phase of... Dad, just leave us alone.
Well, kind of. I don't know. I've never really been embarrassed of parents. I'm not the sort of person to get embarrassed of my mum and dad. But, I suppose sometimes when he is being a bit crazy, everyone else loves it. And you're like, oh, my God, this is so embarrassing. But then after a while...
Because you're used to it, aren't you? You're used to seeing it all the time.
After a while, like, you get into it and it's, yeah, like, okay, well, if everyone else is enjoying it, it obviously means it's not embarrassing. Like, he's not embarrassing himself, so it's fine.
Seb, you are the piano music genius, artistic. You're the real artistic one in the family, aren't you?
Not sure about genius. No.
Well, we've heard so much about you, and we're standing by this fantastic... what is it? How do you pronounce this?
Bluntzner.
Bluntzner piano, grand piano, which is absolutely beautiful. And I know you're going to be playing some music from it very shortly. Tell us about how you got into music to begin with and what you do.
I guess I got into music just listening to what's going on around me, listening to music. Picked up jazz music, got real interest in it. Started listening to as much as I could, and then eventually decided to get involved. Start learning the sax and the piano. Well, I wanted to be part of it, I guess.
Now, your dad was saying that he's into this new sort of cool jazz. What does he call it?
Smooth jazz.
Yeah. Sorry, excuse my ignorance. But you're in much more traditional jazz.
Yeah. I'm into more... kind of a bit more experimental, I guess, kind of John Coltrane and stuff, and it's not, perhaps not quite as nice sounding, and you can kind of put it on and just relax, but sometimes, but you know, it's more interesting to listen to, I find.
Right, and more challenging to play?
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. More to it, I think.
But, so where do you perform?
Mainly just at the moment, just with school and stuff, and,
right?
Stuff to do with school, and that's about it really at the moment.
And do they take that out of the school and go into the community and stuff?
Yeah, okay, we go to nearby primary schools and play to the little kids, and you know, try and get them interested in music as well. And occasionally, you get some really big things, like we did the Lord Mayor's show. Our school kind of, they got a float, and we did that, which was fantastic.
Here we have this wonderful Bluthner Leipzig piano. As you can see, it's a 7'6". Baby Concert Grand. This was actually bequeathed to him by my late father, the original Dr. S, not Dr. M. And my dad was a consultant rheumatologist based at the old church in Grau-Romford, and he used to pass this room in the hospital quite a few times in the week on the way up to his office, and kept seeing this piano. And one day he saw a bloke kind of getting it all taken away, but he said, "What's happening?" He said, "Well, we can't afford to keep that, Dr. Sinus, so we're going to have to get rid of it." He said, "Well, don't do that." He said, "You know, maybe I could buy it." They said, "Oh, we can't do that. NHS and all that, you know, has to be closed bids in an envelope."
Oh, right.
So I'll never forget, this piano was with my father back in 1981. So he asked me, he said, "Son, what do you think? You know, how much do you think that's worth?" I had never seen it. I said, "Well, I don't know. You know, what are they looking for?" He said, "Well, there's a rumour of about £500. I said, "That's ridiculous for a grand piano." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, why don't you just put 555 on the cheque and envelope?" And it was his.
Really?
We had it valued after he died, £17,500. It's young Sebastian's.
Donato, you are, I've been allegedly told, the eyes of the event, in as much as you're recording the event photographically with still events, I should say. And you've been with Dr. M a long time at his parties, at his corporate events?
Yes, many years, more than I care to remember. And so we're growing old gracefully together.
You've seen him from... the beginning?
Not quite from the beginning. He sort of burst into my life like a starship, and we hit it off straight away. We seem to have the same sort of mentality about things and the same sort of thinking processes. And so we speak a kind of shorthand now. I mean, anybody who's ever had a text message or an email from Aid knows he speaks his own shorthand anyway, but we've developed a kind of almost telepathic communication.
So tell me about his events. I've got his angle on them, but you know, you're there not as a guest, you're not performing, you're there recording a record, so you're seeing it from a very unique perspective, I imagine.
That's true, because I can look at it objectively. Being a cameraman, you tend to do that anyway, because looking through the viewfinder, you see the world through a kind of objective viewpoint. You know, you start off with certain plans, but I've learned over the years that those plans are loose plans. They're not blueprints. And so you go in there, and I think the most important thing you have is an open mind. You know, in other words, don't panic, trust your own professionalism, keep your eyes and ears open, and everything will go well.
Is it difficult photographing people when they're out partying and they're not particularly wanting to necessarily pose for cameras, and you know, they're enjoying themselves, and there's a man who, you know, what's he doing with that camera?
That's a very good question, because generally people, when they're having a good time, don't like to be photographed, because they always feel as if they're being watched in some way. And so part of the skill of a photographer is to be able to get on with people. I mean, 50% is getting on with people, the other 50% is the technical stuff.
Yes.
And so you talk to people, you know, you show a genuine interest in them, you put them at their ease, and generally they tend to be very good and just help, you know, because they know that it has to be done.
Yes.
You don't want to have flash pictures, you know, so everybody's kind of caught in the rabbit,
yes,
like a rabbit caught in the headlights. You really want mood pictures, sort of things, moments of kind of interest and moments of fun, so that when people look at the pictures as a whole at the end of an event, they can say, oh yes, that was what it was about.
Just going to butt in there. I know you don't like me butting in, but I think what Donato was saying was really pertinent. But also, we mustn't forget, expect the unexpected. Now, that leads me to an idea, Richard.
Yeah?
Yes.
Slightly worried.
I think we should get you on a masquerade event as a podcaster.
Well, of course, I would agree with you there. I think that's a fantastic idea.
Because a number of things will be, you know, there for the taking. What a great idea.
A roving reporter.
Our roving reporter. Give them the Vobes vibe.
Just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my